Welcome to Urban Forum Northwest with your host, Eddie Rye. We have a National Association of Minority Contractors, Washington chapter, Bob Armstead on land, but we have attorney Benjamin Crump, and he has had a fantastic victory again today. Attorney Benjamin Crump, share with our listeners what you accomplished today.
Hey, Mr. Rye, it's so good to be able to share this breaking news with you all. You're sitting in the newspapers today. The Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled in our favor and representing the black granddaughter of Papa Renty, the African slave, who he and his daughter were photographed in what is some of the earliest known photographs in existence in the world. And they were stripped down naked, trying to show their inferiority. Well, these daguerreotypes are worth approximately $100 million. And the family was arguing that Harvard and the racist scientists who took these pictures do not have the right to have ownership of them. We have the right to have ownership of them. And so Harvard filed a motion to dismiss based on statute of limitations because it's been over 170 years. But the Supreme Court ruled that Ms. Lanier had a right to go forward to court. And this precedent-setting case may have an impact on the Henrietta Lacks litigation and all these other cases where black people are fighting for some aspect of reparations.
Well, that's a tremendous victory. And that was that the Massachusetts Supreme Court that they had the ruling?
Massachusetts Supreme Court, yes, sir.
Okay, so now, so that does that mean that this family get access to the funds that's been made on this, or how does that work?
Well, we think what's going to happen, so the court rules, sending it back to court. I don't think Harvard is ever going to let this case see a court of law. So what's likely to happen, Harvard is going to try to resolve the matter now. But if not, Mr. Rye, I will have the best time of my life arguing about how racist Harvard University was and how the court found vestiges of that racism still exist today.
That's for sure. Now, you've got two or three other significant things going, and I'd like to if you just take the time to share with our listeners some of those things that you're dealing with right now. And we know that you're known as African Americans Attorney General. And if you look at all the cases you represented and won, and some of them people, oh, he don't have a chance. Well, you don't know Attorney Benjamin Crump. He can get in the courtroom, he has a chance. So why don't you just share with our listeners what is the latest case you've undertaken?
Well, right now we are working on multiple cases. We had a big case going with Henrietta Lacks. That is the case where Oprah Winfrey made the movie about John Hopkins Hospital stole her cells and trying to experiment to see how cells can reproduce outside the body. And that was 70 years ago. And miraculously, this black woman were the only living person whose cells did that at the time. And now 70 years later, they still reproducing. Every pharmaceutical company in the world has used her cells. They've made billions and billions and billions of dollars, yet her black family hasn't made not one red cent. Keep it on. One red cent. And so at this point now, the federal judge has said that she's not going to dismiss the case, so we get to go on through that trial. And obviously we're working on Patrick Loyola, the African who was executed in Grand Rapids, Michigan, on video. So we believe that right now we're finally making incremental progress. We still got a long way to go, but we're making incremental progress. And that's what I talk about on the Netflix documentary, the new movie last 12 months through 2020, 2021, where the award-winning director Nadia Hallgren, who directed Michelle Obama's Becoming, and the incredible producer, Kenya Barris, who created the television show Black-ish, as well as America's Top Model, and wrote the movie Girls Trip, had produced it, and it's called Civil, and it's on Netflix now, and it gives you a behind-the-curtains look at the life of civil rights attorney Ben Crump during this global pandemic, fighting for Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and George Floyd.
And that trailer is on Eddie Rye's Facebook page as soon as I got it yesterday. So I want my listeners to know that too. Now we have just a couple of unique things happening here. And you know, we've been hearing off and on about the Justice Department. Bob Armstead is the president of the National Association of Motor Contractors, the Washington chapter, had filed a complaint with Christine Clark, the Civil Rights Division of DOJ. And it had 9 disparity studies, 2 private studies, all indicating that Blacks in Washington State were being discriminated against. We even had a letter to Christine Clark from our Congressman Adam Smith, who is the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, asking Christine Clark and DOJ to look into this discrimination complaint, which he said was well-founded and deserved a review. DOJ sent it over to the Department of Transportation.
Okay.
So I just, you know, I'm just saying, I know that there people have been somewhat dissatisfied with Attorney General Merrick Garland. Who has the decision-making authority when it comes down to discrimination in the Department of Justice?
Well, that's certainly going to come to the Attorney General and the Solicitor General, and we just have to keep the pressure on. You know, they always try to say our issues aren't that important until we show them how important they are, and we have to continue to do that. Every day I wake up, Mr. Rye, and I'm very sure what my mission is. That is to be an unapologetic defender of Black life, Black liberty, and Black humanity. So that's what I'm fighting for every day.
And you know, 3 weeks ago we had Congresswoman Maxine Waters, you guys sound like twins. She said, Eddie Rye, I wake up in the morning ready to fight because I know there's going to be some racism waiting on me. And she's absolutely right, and you are too. So well, anyway, I would just like to, if you got one more minute, I'd just like to have Bob Armstead make a comment, because we would like to have you look at this as well. And you're on Civil, it says that it's just not when the police kill someone, it's the Black farmers, the Black businesses, and economic justice is very important as well. So let me have Bob Armstead make a comment to you, Attorney.
Okay. Yes, Attorney Crump, I would like to start by congratulating you on your victory today. And each time you have a victory, you give hope. And we are behind and support you in all your endeavors. Very briefly, 21 individuals and organizations in the state of Washington filed a complaint with the Department of Justice regarding civil rights, discrimination, and disparate impacts in Washington state. We had approximately 34, 36 supporting documents attached to our complaint. The vast majority, if not all of those documents, were documents prepared either by the federal government or public agencies that are funded by the federal government. So none of the supporting documentation was our documentation, it was their documentation. And because we have such a short period of time here, I'll get right to it. The response that we got back from the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division was that they had looked at the complaint and it did not appear to be something that they was in their jurisdiction, and that they were referring our complaint to the Department of Transportation. We responded back and thanked them for referring it to the Department of Transportation, because most of the examples that we gave involved the Department of Transportation and agencies that the Department of Transportation funded. But it was our understanding that the Civil Rights Division was created at the Department of Justice to investigate civil rights complaints. So we're waiting to hear back from them on that response.
Well, let me know, Bob, and if I could do anything to encourage Kristen Clark, I certainly will. I know Mr. Rye's daughter, Angela, and I know Kristen, and she has made some bold steps, and so hopefully we can get her to chime in here. Okay?
I'll send you a copy of it, sir.
Okay.
And okay. I know that you got a lot of people waiting on you, and you're the busiest person in America. And all I can say is thank God for you. We have, some, like Bob said, you keep hope alive. That was a kind of statement that Reverend Jackson used to make all the time. Attorney Benjamin Crump keeps hope alive for African Americans. I want to thank you very much for your time, sir. And we got two freedom fighters going to be coming on after you. We've had a couple of a school board members censored for making derogatory statements and giving a black superintendent of a school district.
God bless you. I got to go. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Attorney Crump. We appreciate your time. Okay. Bob, thank you very much, too. And I want you to hang on with us for a while to hear about what's happening over in Pierce County. We have Kim again. And do we have Ms. Tanisha? Is she on?
Yeah, she's coming. She hasn't got on yet, but she should be here shortly.
Okay. So you won a couple of weeks ago, right before the school board meeting on June 13th. And there were some pretty shocking things that came out of that. So can you enlighten, first of all, let our listeners know that they didn't hear you 2 weeks ago, what the issue was, and then what happened at the school board meeting on the 13th.
Okay, let me just give your listeners a little history. In the Clover Park School District, there is a school director by the name of Paul Wagaman, who shares the view of white supremacist thinking and is trying to disrupt public education in the Clover Park School District. So through that process, he felt with his supreme being that he could attack our African-American superintendent, Ron Banner. So through emails and other verbiage, both in person, he has made several racial slurs and basically has undermined the leadership of Ron Banner, who, by the way, just got an award by the Washington State School Directors as being one of the outstanding superintendents in the state of Washington. So clearly, Paul Wagaman and his evaluation of superintendent is totally out of line to what Superintendent Banner is doing in that school district. However, through the process of all that's been going through, Superintendent Banner decided to file a racial discrimination, harassment, intimidation, bullying against the school director, Paul Wagaman. And that information was presented at the board meeting on June 13th. That evening was quite contentious. We even had to have two uniformed police officers in the room to keep things in order. Myself, as director of Vibrant Schools, testified in support of Superintendent Ron Banner, and then also express my disappointment and disgrace that we would have someone of Paul Wagaman's character in a public education policymaking position with the things that he said. And I mean, he's actually losing words like the superintendent's a black pimp, that in the black community, it's okay to call women the B word. And then he talks about brown and black children and why they aren't, why they're not being successful because of our cultural backgrounds and things like that. And so definitely we've got to get him off that board. He did get censured. That was official. He got censured on the 13th. Now what we're working on in a community perspective is getting him recalled, getting him off the school board. In addition to that, Dave Anderson just got elected to the board, and he shares the same mindset. So now we've actually got two, count them two, white supremacist thinking school board directors on the Clover Park School District. Fortunately, it's a five board situation. So the other three board members are thinking, you know, appropriately for all students and all staff in that school district. So what it comes down to pretty regularly is a 3-2 vote, where the threes, they vote the way that things should be done to make sure that there's equitable educational services in the Clover Park School District, whereas Dave and Paul vote against. So our strategy now is looking at trying to get them recalled, number one. I believe that Ron Banner probably will move this into a to a full lawsuit against him. He is now seeking full legal, information and advice. So I'm not sure. I'm not speaking for Ron Banner. Let me be perfectly clear. This is my analysis. But I'm just going to assume that's probably going to happen. In the meantime, we're looking at where's the policy, the legal opportunities for us as community people to get these two people off the school board, and then to make sure if we can't get them off, definitely for re-election, we need to run candidates in those positions to remove them through the election process.
Kimmy, so I need you to hold on because I gave Tanisha 2:35 time. And my guests, Dr. Margaret Brown Payton and other folks, I want you to stand by.
Okay,
no problem. The International Association of Ministers' Wives and Ministers' Widows are having their international conference in Bellevue starting on Sunday. So if Nell Thornton is the local president and campaign coordinator, Nell Thornton, are you on?
Yes, I am, Eddie.
And also I see we got Dr. Margaret Brown Payton on. And do we have... Ms. Janine Daniels, is she on?
Vice President Daniels?
Yes. Okay, well, Nell, you're gonna go ahead and since you're hosting the conference at Bellevue, why don't you go ahead and set the example and then tell us a little bit about our president, Dr. Payton, and also the Vice President, Dr. Daniels.
Eddie, thank you for the time. Just want to say a few things. Our president, the illustrious Dr. Margaret B. Payton, is from Richmond, Virginia, and she is our sitting president. Vice President at Large Janie Daniels is with her. She's usually not far away, and she is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love, and I think she says sisterly affection. And of course, I'm Nell Thornton in here, Seattle. I'm the local Seattle chair president, as well as Washington Ministers' Wives and Widows president. And I am the chairperson for the area. We welcome the 81st Convention of the International Ministers' Wives and Widows to Seattle. It's been 35 years since they were here in April of 1987. That is my introduction.
Why don't you just give us information about the conference itself before we go to Dr. Payton and to Dr. Daniels?
Okay, our conference will start on the 25th of June, which is this Saturday. And we will start off on Saturday and continue on Sunday. We have a 10 o'clock a.m. service at the hotel, open to the public. We also have a communion about 7 p.m. at the hotel, 900 Bellevue Way Northeast. In Bellevue, the Bellevue Hyatt Regency is the location. And we continue daily with our classes. We have night services starting Saturday night with our brotherhood, our men. It will start Saturday night at 7, and we'll have Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. We have all of those services, Saturday through Wednesday. You can join us. And then on Wednesday night, we have our President's Night. And you're welcome to come and join us and let this president see how the Emerald City and the Evergreen State of Washington does it. Our colors are royal blue and gold. Come and join us and show out at our international convention. Monday night is Washington night, and we're asking everybody to come to our musical and our welcome program. We're wearing our green. Everybody come and wear your green and come bring your smiling faces to welcome everybody.
And you guys also have an ad on the front page of the Seattle Facts newspaper too, with the picture of you and Ms. Payton with the information about the conference. So why don't we go to President Dr. Payton and hear some words from her. Well, I want to welcome you to Martin Luther King Jr. County. It might be the Emerald City in Washington State, but this Bellevue is in Martin Luther King Jr. County. So I want to make sure y'all know that too. So Dr. Daniels.
Thank you so much for having us on. We are delighted to be in Seattle in the Martin Luther King County. It's been 35 years since the International Association of Ministers' Wives and Ministers' Widows have met here in Seattle. We are delighted to be hosted by the Washington State Chapter. Nell Thornton is our state president, and more than 300 ministers' wives and ministers' widows will be gathering here over the next few days as we, our beloved sisterhood, and we come together to encourage, to edify, and enable each other. Thank you so very much for welcoming us to the Emerald City at Martin Luther King County. And I'm going to turn you over to our Vice President at Large, Dr. Janie Daniels.
Good afternoon. And like Dr. Payton says, we are truly happy to be here in your city, and we're glad for the opportunity to be on your show. And we look forward to the great things that we have planned and the great things that Sister Nell Thornton and her ladies have planned for us as they host this 81st conference. And we are so happy again that you had thought of not robbery to invite us to join you on your podcast today.
Now, thank you very much for being here. Is there any historical information, any additional information you want to impart with my listening audience?
Yes, we want to invite your listening audience to come and join us at the Hyatt Regency Bellevue. You are welcome any evening for our open sessions, beginning Sunday evening with our communion service, which a local, the Reverend Robert Jeffrey, will be the communion speaker. On Monday night, welcome night, you will be welcoming us to the city, to the state of Washington, in the city of Seattle, in the suburb of Bellevue. So we welcome you again on Tuesday night for our evening service, Wednesday evening for President's Night, and Thursday for our gala banquet at 7 p.m.
You have further comments, Dr. Daniels?
Also, with over the 300 delegates that will be coming here, our husbands, some of the husbands will be joining us also, and they will be about 75 husbands that will be joining us. And on Saturday evening, they will be having a special husbands worship service at 7:30, and you're more than invited to come out and be a part of that.
Okay, local chair, Ms. Nell Thornton.
Yes, two more items is that we have a president's breakfast on Wednesday, and I guess I could invite you to it, but I won't. It's 6:30 a.m. in the morning. But we also have a banquet on Wednesday at, what time is that?
Thursday.
No, that's not Wednesday. We have
The Legacy Luncheon will be on Tuesday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. We will be honoring and recognizing sisters right from your area, Mrs. Addie B. Davis and Mrs. Brunton.
Okay.
This is Johnny Brown.
From Portland, Oregon, one of our founding members.
Well, we have two sisters on the line right now. They deserve some honor, but you guys have to be around this area. But you'll be hearing about them probably nationwide pretty soon with the work they're doing. So,
yeah.
Okay, as I mentioned, you guys do have a nice ad on the front page of the Seattle PAX newspaper. It's on the front page, so hopefully they can deliver some of those papers over there, Mel, so that the folks from around the country can see the kind of work you've done locally.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rye.
Well, thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate you guys very much for the work you're doing, and I will be over there on Monday, I think, right, Ms. Nell?
Yes, you're there on Monday for 7:30 p.m. for the welcome program.
Good. Well, I will not make the 6:30 breakfast. Okay, well, thank you very much, and I hope you have a very good and purposeful convention for the International Association of Ministers' Wives and Ministers' Widows at the Bellevue Hyatt starting on Saturday. So they can get all the information on the Facts newspapers on the front page. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Northwest.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Eric, we're going to take a quick break and come back right after that.
Thank you, Eddie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Why sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic when you can hop on Link Light Rail and fly by the gridlock? It's a smoother, easier, stress-free way to get where you want to go. Whether you're heading north to Capitol Hill and the University of Washington or south to Columbia City, Tukwila, and the airport, Link Light Rail will get you there quickly and safely. And if you have an ORCA card, even better. Just tap on the yellow card reader when you get on and listen for the beep to let you know your card has been accepted. Then tap your card reader again once you've reached your destination and listen for the double beep to let you know you've tapped off correctly. To find the closest Link Light Rail station or to learn how to get an ORCA card, just go to soundtransit.org and type Link Light Rail into the search bar. Sound Transit's Link Light Rail. Just another way that Sound Transit is powering progress.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
All right, Eddie Ride back at Urban Forum Northwest with a continuation with Kimmy Jan, who was talking earlier. I messed up and had her in too soon about what was happening out at the Clover Park School District. And we've been joined by another activist, Tanisha Lyons, who also was there as well. So, Kimmy, why don't you wind up and then we'll go right to Tanisha.
Yeah, and I'd like to have the opportunity before we sign off to let folks know of an event that's going to tie in where there's some community engagement where folks can help with the struggle down here in Pierce County with the Clover Park School District. But just to kind of bring what I had stated earlier, that the need right now is to make sure that community engagement and support to Superintendent Banner is essential now. He needs to know that he's protected and that he's supported, and that regularly that people of color need to be in the audience at school board meetings, because when they see our presence, they act differently. So we need to be there, be up front. Hopefully people will be comfortable in making testimony. You have up to 3 minutes to speak your mind, say what you need to say, and support a Superintendent Banner, as well as talk about the fact that we're not going to have white supremacists on school boards that are making policy that negatively affect the educational services for Black and brown children. So I'm encouraged that more of the community show up at school board meetings. It's important. White supremacists are trying to take over local school boards. That's one of their power moves right now. And we as people of color cannot allow that to happen. And those that have been able to get on school boards, we must remove them. And that's what we're working on now through Vibrant Schools. And then the other work that Tanisha's doing through her agency, Tanisha Cares, down in the Clover Park School District.
And Ms. Tanisha Lyons, Tanisha Cares, go right ahead.
Yes. And so my main thing is making sure that we understand that there's a political push that is happening within our school districts. And this political push is to marginalize our communities, to make sure that there's an agenda of far right ideology and white supremacy, and to silence the voice of anyone who is geared towards equitable services. And so within the Clover Park School District, we want to make sure that there's a push, that there's just a voice a loud voice, that we as people of color are not going to sit back and allow our children to be sitting under policies that are going to create harm, and not only create harm, but further induce the school to prison pipeline. And so that's the whole push, is to make sure that we're dismantling the school to prison pipeline, and that we're not empowering white supremacy to take over our schools.
What are the demographics of the Clover Park School District? What is the percentage of African-American students in that district?
I believe, well, first of all, let me just talk about, because it's Clover Park School District has transitioned from being predominantly white to predominantly non-white. Let's just talk to that point first, because we need to look at not just African-American children. We need to look at all children of color and those impacted by poverty, because that's what Vibrant Schools represents. Our organization is about eliminating the educational disparities for students of color and those impacted by poverty. I don't have that in front of me, Eddie, but I think I'm safe to say right now that in Clover Park Schools, it's probably running about 25% African American. Then you have the Asian Pacific Islanders, probably is the next major, and then the Latinx, and then the Native American. So, but it's no longer a predominantly white school district. However, it's a predominantly white staff situation, which is another another key thing that needs to be looked at. And I have to say that many of the white teachers were at the school board meeting stating that they were in support of Superintendent Ron Banner and want Paul Wagaman removed as a school board member. And the Clover Park Education Association, their union, wants Paul Wagaman off of the school board, because he's talked about the teachers in the Clover Park School District in derogatory ways. So there's a lot of different elements of support for Superintendent Ron Banner, as well as making sure that the Clover Park School District policymakers, i.e. the school board, does not become a school board of white supremacist thinking.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about the superintendent himself, a little bit about his background?
Yeah, he's been in the district for quite some time now. And I believe his principal at one time, Tanisha knows a little bit more about this Clover Park, because her kids, both of her daughters, went through the Clover Park school system. So I'm going to yield to Tanisha on that question.
Yes, Superintendent Banner started out as a principal at Mann Junior High School, which is now Claudia Thomas Junior High School. And he was hired, he worked, as a superintendent interim until Debbie LeBeau left the district. And then he took over as the full-time superintendent, I believe. One thing that I want to make sure that people also know is that even with the political agenda within the district, the campaign, the last school board race raised about $10,000. Dave Anderson raised about $10,000 to run for a school board. $5,000 is plenty, typically, to run for a school board. So I want to make sure that people understand, too, that there's a lot of money going in behind these candidates, and that we are going to have to support candidates who are running for the school board, not just through voting, but also they need our help financially. They need us to go out and doorbell. They need us to go out and make phone calls. That is going to be the thing that's going to help candidates win. A lot of candidates are losing, good candidates are losing these races because they don't have the financial backing and they don't have the support of the community who say they want them in there for change. But it's time to start putting the money where the mouth is.
Yeah.
And so this Superintendent Ron Banner, is that his name? He's been in the district for quite a while, so he's a well-known commodity.
I stated earlier, Ron just received from the Washington State School Directors Association outstanding award for being one of the best superintendents in the state of Washington. He comes with a long history of being equitable, of being about students, about being about parents, about being about community, and all of those aspects of excellence is how he was recognized by the Washington State Association of School Directors. You don't get that award by being just a Johnny-come-lately or a lightweight. He's a heavyweight. He's done his due diligence, and for him to be disrespected as he is being right now, and being racially harassed, intimidated, and bullied by Paul Wagerman, the school board director, it's unconscionable. As community, we cannot allow our Black leaders to be subjected to this kind of treatment. So Tanisha's absolutely right, though, that as moving forward to eliminate this happening again, to have two white supremacist school board directors on a school board, we have to run candidates that are qualified, but we have to support them. It's not just getting the vote out, it's supporting them through the process so they can be elected. So I just wanted to say, one of the ways your listeners can help Vibrant Schools, the League of Women Voters, and the Tacoma chapter of the NAACP is hosting a symposium on July 16th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Evergreen State Tacoma campus. The symposium is called Community, Civility, and Connections. And it's about how do we strategize for these kinds of things. And it's also supporting the Love Thy Neighbor Month for the Tacoma Ministerial Alliance. So we as people of color have got to come together with due diligence. We've got to strategize, we've got to mobilize, we need to come up with action plans that we can execute to make sure that these kinds of things that are truly being institutionalized by white supremacist groups to take over schools through school board elections, we've got to stop it now that we see that momentum is running hard and heavy, and we've got to eliminate that. Plus, again, in summary, we've got to support Superintendent Ron Banner as he goes through this process of taking legal action against a school board member who has it's been documented, harassment, intimidation, and bullying. It's documented, it's happening.
That was a study that was done by an outside entity?
It was a full investigative done by a lawyer, yes. Yes, independently done. And the complaint has been filed, which has the opportunity to go to the next level, which would be like a lawsuit. And again, I'm not speaking for Ron Banner. Ron Banner has not publicly said he was going to do a lawsuit, but that's always a possibility. And when you have a formal complaint utilizing the policies of a school district, as well as the WACs and the RCWs of the state of Washington, you have an opportunity to take that out to a legal arena. And that may happen. I'm not saying it is, but there's a strong possibility.
Kimmy, could you give our listening audience your website information or your contact information for Vibrant Schools?
Yes, we are Vibrant Schools 253. Again, that's Vibrant Schools 253 at gmail.com. And I'd be more than willing to give out my number. You can reach me at 253-273-2999. We've got to come together as a united people of color community and fight what looks like, it's like these folks are mobilizing big time, not just here in Pierce County.
All across the country.
It's all across the nation.
Yeah, it's all across the country.
And Washington is a blue state. We're more progressive than a lot of these other states. We need to stay that way. We need to do our due diligence now. N-O-W now. And Eddie, I promise I won't use any profanity today.
Thank you, Kimmy. Thank you.
Like I did last time.
Tanisha Cares, what about your contact information for people who want to work with you? And I also want to let you know that I think if I say this 2 hours or so after this live program, this will be on my podcast and also on Alexa. So people can tune in and hear all your comments 24/7 for the rest of the week until next Thursday. So go right ahead, Ms. Tanisha Lyons. Tanisha Cares.
I can be reached at TanishaCares.com. That's TanishaCares at gmail.com, or you can reach me through my website at TanishaCares.com.
Okay. What is the next move in terms of mobilization, or are we to the point now where it's going to be up to the courts or up to the superintendent to decide which direction he wants to go?
But in the meantime, we need, every time there's a school board meeting, people of color need to be there. And if you're not comfortable with testifying, that's okay. But to be present is important. We cannot allow policy decisions being made without us being in the room. Because to see us there it changes the way some people think sometimes. And there's power in being in the moment, in the presence. And
well, good you have the Black elected, but I understand Mr. David Boyd was in, all the policemen knew him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, and that's, you know, Eddie, I have been at this a long time. I have never, ever had to go to a school board meeting and have two uniformed police officers at school board. That's how contentious it is in Kluber Park right now.
They had two in uniform and probably 7 or 8 in plain clothes.
There might have been. Okay. All I know is I felt safe that we had some.
Okay, well, Tanisha, I want to give you the last word. We're out of time, but I really appreciate the work you guys are doing. It's very important. And like you said, Kimmy, this is an epidemic that's going around in all school board meetings at the lowest level of government, not the school districts are lower, but that means in communities, they're trying to have these right-wing folks in there, and they need to be called out. So Tanisha, thank you very much. Tanisha Cares.
Yes. I would like to say that, you know, everybody should be talking to their family members, your cousins, your aunties, your uncles, and asking them, are they registered to vote? And if they are not registered to vote, get registered to vote. Because if you don't vote now, what's going to happen when the election season, well, we're in election season already, but when it's time to vote for these different races that are happening, you're going to see a big push for ideology that is not going to be beneficial to people of color. And so if we're not at the ballot boxes, if we're not mailing in our ballots, we're not going to have a say-so in how this election goes.
You're absolutely right. I want to thank Kimmy Jean and also Tanisha Lyons, Tanisha Cares, and Vibrant Schools with Kimmy. Thank you all very much. I appreciate the work you're doing, and hopefully what you're doing will spread throughout the region so everybody will get busy. So we're going to take
a break. Eddie, thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate you so much. Thanks for the great work you're doing. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to take a break and come back with NAMC President Bob Armstead after this, to hear about a historical Black organization.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Why sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic when you can hop on Link Light Rail and fly by the gridlock? It's a smoother, easier, stress-free way to get where you want to go. Whether you're heading north to Capitol Hill and the University of Washington, or south to Columbia City, Tukwila, and the airport, Link Light Rail will get you there quickly and safely. And if you have an ORCA card, even better. Just tap on the yellow card reader when you get on and listen for the beep to let you know your card has been accepted. Then tap your card reader again once you've reached your destination and listen for the double beep to let you know you've tapped off correctly. To find the closest Link Light Rail station or to learn how to get an ORCA card, just go to soundtransit.org and type Link Light Rail into the search bar. Sound Transit's Link Light Rail. Just another way that Sound Transit is powering progress.
Find our app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
All right, Eddie Rye back at Urban Forum Northwest. I want to let people know that, first of all, shout out of condolence, Damon Allen, the DJ known as The Doc, will be funeralized at First AME on Friday, tomorrow at 11 o'clock a.m. And then my good friend, Louisiana homeboy, DeWitt Alvin Harris Jr., will be funeralized at Mount Zion Baptist Church on Tuesday, June 28th at 11 o'clock a.m. And I want to also thank, you can hear, read about both of those guys in the Facts newspaper, but I want to thank the Port of Seattle Diversity Construction Office with Diversity Construction Office with me and Rice, Lawrence Coleman, Reagan, Josie Reagan, The Central Seattle Purchase and Construction Services Office, Liz Alzair. Sound Transit's Office of Civil Rights, Diversity, and Inclusion with John Tay Robinson at the helm. And I also want to say a happy birthday to Ricky Pelhams. He'll be partying and singing at Rumba Notes on Sunday, June 26th, Sunday night. And like my next guest has been here the whole hour. That's Bob Armstead, president of the National Association of Minority Contractors, the Washington State chapter. And wanted him to give a little historical overview of that organization that started in 1969. So Bob, go right ahead.
Okay, and after I do that, I would like to make for you to make the connection with Seattle. NAMAC, the National Association of Minority Contractors, like several other organizations, started after the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. If your audience remembers, Dr. King was in Tennessee supporting workers and businesses at the time of his assassination. The National Association of Minority Contractors is the oldest minority trade association in the United States, started 53 years ago in 1969. It was started because of the lack of participation of Blacks, African Americans in the construction industry. And the organization is open at this time to all minorities and women that are in the construction industry, be they actual constructors or engineers or architects or suppliers or whatever line of work that they might be in. The organizational nationally is in part responsible for the continuation of programs like the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, the DBE program at the Department of Commerce. As your previous guest was speaking about the situation in Clover Park, where individuals and groups are actively attempting to change and curtail things. There are efforts every year to end the DBE program. And for your listeners, I'm sure most, if not all of them, know that for the last 20 plus years, as a result of I-200, the DBE program was the primarily vehicle for contracting for minorities in Washington State because of an erroneous assumption by then Governor Locke, the affirmative action programs in Washington State ceased to be in existence. So we are currently in the process of reinvigorating, rebuilding the NAMAC Washington chapter. We are very interested in bringing on board younger members. We at one point several years ago had a relationship with engineering and design schools at the University of Washington and Seattle University. We're going to bring those back. We're interested in developing relationships with organizations like those that Reverend Lawrence Willis has on the employment side. We want to bring all of the elements of the construction industry together so that people in our communities, if they have an interest in being a carpenter or an engineer, or a supplier or a landscaper, whatever that might be, that we want them to be able to have advantage of those opportunities. And very quickly, I would like to share with your audience the fact that many people perceive of programs like the DBE program to be something other than what it is. What it is a decision by the United States legislature to try to ensure that all people have an opportunity to participate in construction and other programs that are financed through the United States government. In order for these programs to be in existence, they have to be voted in. If, for an example, all of the minority and women legislators in the U.S. House of Representatives and U.S. Congress voted not to support construction programs, we would not have the robust transportation and other agency programs and contract and funding that we have in this state. They are supporting something that their constituents are not able to partake of. And all citizens pay taxes. And the funding that comes in from these programs come as a result of the taxes that we pay. So it's not something that's being given. It's something that has been denied that we're trying to get back. Mm.
So Bob, can you briefly just let folks know when the next NAMC meeting is going to be? We're encouraging people who are in business. You can be what, an architect, on a dump truck, or be a carpenter, contractor, any other kind of contractor, can be a member of NAMC, the Washington chapter.
Yes, anyone in the construction industry, whether it's a trade or a professional or a supplier, whatever it might happen to be. Our next meeting is June the 7th, Thursday evening from 5 July. To 6:30.
July.
It will, July, I'm sorry, July the 7th, still focusing in June. It will be a virtual meeting from 5 to 6:30. The website for NAMAC Washington, where you can go to get access to the meeting, is namcwa.com.
Okay,
that's
Bob.
All you have to do.
Okay, and we'll follow up before that meeting with you again. And thank you for hanging in and being a guest for the whole hour today. We really, really appreciate you and appreciate your leadership. So thank you very much, brother. Okay. Once again, I want to let folks know that my good friend Damon Allen will be funeralized on Friday, tomorrow at 11 o'clock a.m. at First AME Church. And my Louisiana homeboy, DeWitt Alvin Harris Jr., will be funeralized Tuesday, June 28th at Mount Zion Baptist Church at 11 o'clock a.m. And want to thank the Port of Seattle's Diversity Contracting Office, me and Rice, the City of Seattle's Purchasing and Construction Services Office, Liz Alzire, and Sound Transit's Office of Civil Rights, Diversity and Inclusion, John Tay Robinson. Happy birthday, Ricky Pelham. You'll be jamming on Sunday night at the Rumba Notes Lounge. So thank you very much, and we'll talk with you again next week.